All right, good to be with you on a Thursday. The ESPYs were last night, top of the hour. I pulled some of the jokes from Shane Gillis's monologue.
Good.
Did you get a chance to see it, Seth, or will this be the first run at it?
This will be the first run because I didn't. You sent the audio and everything, but I'm like, oh, okay, these are jokes. I want to hear them fresh.
Yeah.
I want to. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. I'll let you be joyless, and I get to actually enjoy this segment.
It's actually Amy and I were out to eat last night, and it bled into going past seven. I'm like, make sure you record the ESPYs. I want to see the monologue. I'll just say this. He made it as uncomfortable at times as you predicted it might be.
Oh, good. Yeah. Good.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just pulled the
ones.
Were
the jokes directed at people in the audience?
Yeah. Some of them.
Yeah.
Some of them.
Did the people in the audience, was there anybody that was really uncomfortable with it?
Sometimes. Yeah. A little bit. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Yeah.
I'll go back and watch it this afternoon.
Yeah. Watch the whole thing. I pulled the ones that were getting the most buzz on social media because that's the easiest place to go get the audio. So we'll do that at the top of the hour. This Shamar Stewart story is really interesting. And the local aspect to this, Shamar Stewart, first round pick out of Texas A&M. He's a defensive lineman, and he is the one first round pick who has yet to sign his contract. You know, if training camp begins for a lot of these teams in the next couple of days. Rookies are reporting to some teams already as we speak. And Shamar Stewart has not signed yet with Cincinnati and has been very vocal about why. He's not been silent about this. Cincinnati is trying to do something that they've never done with any of their previous first-round picks, and that is add language in where they can draw back some of the guaranteed money in this deal if things don't work out between Shamar Stewart and the Bengals for whatever reason. And I don't think this is things that other teams are doing. It's just the Bengals, and we've seen this for decades with the Bengals as they try to cut corners and reduce risk and reduce cost and exposure and things like that. They're the closest thing in the NFL, Seth, to a mom and pop shop. You know, they're a family-owned team with no other business other than football, and they act like it sometimes. Shamar Stewart has not signed yet. He's been very vocal about thinking that he's right in this, and he is currently working out in College Station. When that was reported earlier this week, it was actually reported and construed by some people, actually smart people, that he's working out in College Station, like practicing with the team, and that he might play for the Aggies this coming season and then put himself back in the draft next year.
Yeah, that's a big leap for a lot of reasons. For one, it's very common for guys to go back and work out with their college team, especially in the first couple years after you're done.
Yeah.
It's nice. You're comfortable with it. You got coaches that know you and all of that.
For sure. Well, and to be clear, on the heels of that report where everybody's construing it as he's out there doing stuff with the team, the team's not even there right now. He's just using the facilities.
You're not allowed to do any. There's guys working out, but you're not allowed to do football activities or anything.
Right.
It's not like he's learning the new defense or what have you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's dumb. That's dumb. The second part of it that's dumb is that as of now, you're not allowed to go back to college football. But there is and a credit / blame Florio for introducing this during the Shedeur Sanders conversation. Florio thinks that that legally, if challenged, that might not stand up. That the NCAA should allow players to come back even if they've entered the draft. So but it's certainly not a slam dunk. Oh yeah, he can just choose and go back to college. There would be a court case and every other thing else involved.
Yeah, there would. Now, if he just plays it out and just sits out the year, then he will go back in the draft next year. And the Bengals are not allowed to draft him if he goes back in the draft next year. So he will go to another team. It's an interesting story because I wonder, how does the NFL look at a guy like that who sat out, you know, who will have had to sit out football for a year? You know, that he's probably already got some money in the bank through NIL, so he's not desperate, I would imagine, to have to go play to keep the lights on in his apartment or anything like that. You know, he would be delaying getting a second contract by a year.
You know what's interesting is now because of NIL. Let's say he decides to test it, that he's, okay, I'm going to try to do this. I'm going to sue to try to go back to college football. He would get some of his assistants from his school, I'm sure, in that endeavor. They'd love to have him back. Or maybe not. Well, I don't know what his school would do because it's the NCAA itself that's saying that, yeah. So however it ends up working out, because guys have made substantial money in NIL, there are probably more guys who, as long as they've been careful with their money and put some of it away for a rainy day at least, that would feel comfortable saying, all right, look, I know I'm not going to I know I'm going to take a hit this year, but I'm going to challenge it.
Yeah.
I'm going to see what happens. And if it works out, then I also get the NIL money this year. But if it doesn't work out, then I've still, you know, I'm not going to starve in this year while I'm waiting to go re-enter the draft.
If you were a personnel guy, if you were Nick Caserio, you're GM of an NFL team, and you've got a pick, and Shamar Stewart is back in the draft next year. He's back in the pool of players. So however you graded him coming into 2025, you probably have a similar grade on his body of work and same grade on his body of work. That is what it is. Would you view the year off as a positive, a negative, or a non-factor?
Okay, so there's two things. One is the actual year off and whether it's good or bad. You know, he wouldn't have improved at football necessarily, but he'd be fresh physically, all that.
Yep.
He'd be 1 year older. I wouldn't think too much about it one way or the other there. It's kind of like when Nico Collins, and we saw this with a lot of the guys in the COVID year. Nico Collins took the COVID year off, and a lot of other guys did too. And, you know, maybe Nico Collins would have been a first rounder if he'd actually played, but he would have also gotten better. So if you had Shamar Stewart graded however you had him graded at the time, I don't think that necessarily changes. You're going to go off his last year. The other side of it is, okay, is this guy a pain in the butt, or do I disagree with the way he handled it? And that's going to come down to the individual GM.
Yeah.
I think for sure anybody that drafts him is probably going to want to have a really good conversation with his agent beforehand.
Sure.
They want to be sure that there's not – that they almost have – you know, a deal in principle agreed to before the fact.
Definitely.
But the Bengals are a team that's known for making things more difficult than they need to be.
When Florio wrote an article about this yesterday and lays out the path that Shamar Stewart could take to potentially sue and go back to college for a year if he wanted to play. And it could be at A&M or anywhere because of the transfer portal. He could go play at any number of schools and get paid via NIL and make some money. Maybe, who knows, maybe make almost as much as he would have been making on his rookie deal, depending on how badly a team or a school wants him to play. I would guess that there are probably some NFL owners and some people in the NFL that really want to encourage the Bengals to just squash whatever this silly, petty thing they want is in the contract. Because I think the last thing the NFL wants is for the door to be open for especially the bad teams, for the door to be open for guys to say, oh, okay, I got drafted by the Bears, you know, whatever to think of any bad team over the last couple of years. To have the avenue available to go back to college and get paid to go back to college, the NFL does not want that. You know, the draft is a huge, huge marketing thing for them. It's a big money generator for them. The last thing they want is for that night of the first round of the draft to have this cloud hanging over it where these guys are getting picked by teams and they might not want to go to that team. You know, I'm not saying that players shouldn't have that right. The way you go about gaining employment in the NFL is 180 degrees different than the way you go about getting employment in the real world. You know, getting drafted to a city you may not want to go to and you have to go there or sit out a year. I don't think the NFL wants that door open at all for players to be allowed to go back to school.
It does kind of, there's almost, there are some, there's things about the draft that just feel very un-American in a lot of ways that you're one of the best students. You're brilliant in medical school. You graduate number one from Harvard Medical School, but you're not allowed to choose where you go to work afterwards. It doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense that you don't have that freedom to do so. So yeah, they just don't want to open that door to challenging all of that. I guess, you know, to answer your original question, how do teams treat it? I don't think it's anything like a Kurt Flood type situation where Kurt Flood basically got blackballed from baseball for challenging free agency and all that, or the lack of free agency.
Yeah.
So that part of it, I don't think is a concern. Yeah. I think that, there might be some discussions with the Browns up in Cincinnati, Mike Brown, about just, hey, listen, man, we don't want to open this Pandora's box.
Text something like, hey, Brownie, come on, man, let's squash this thing. We don't need to open the door. Texter's asking a question that I have about this whole thing, but we're up against it. I'll bring that up when we come out of the next segment. Also, I've got a handful of the Shane Gillis jokes from the ESPYs last night from the monologue. I like the monologue. Some of the people in the audience didn't seem too pro about the monologue. I think the way Gillis handles some of this stuff, though, is genius. We'll have that coming up in the next segment as well. Stay there.